Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is author of our Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life.
If someone in this country has strongly held pro-life views, can you commit to us so people can understand if they're going to buy a policy that has abortion coverage or not?
By the word alone, without any other power, the church was founded. By the word alone, all the great deeds recorded in church history were accomplished. By the word alone, the church will most assuredly stand also in these last days of sore distress.
He always would quote the apology, "Ne desperemus," let's not despair. Jesus prays for his church.
I jokingly called this the Issues, Etc. revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
Reading the Bible is one thing, and prayer is another thing, right? Well, maybe let's think about that a little bit more this hour of Issues, Etc. this afternoon. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin on this Friday, November 8th, 2013. Our guest in just a moment is going to be Pastor Mark Love, who is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Rockford, Michigan, author of a recent book from Concordia Publishing House called Five Things You Can Do to Prayerfully Read the Bible. You can join us. Our call-in number is 1-877-623-6943. That's 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can tweet us at issuesetc. Pastor Mark Love, welcome back to Issues, Etc. It has been a while for you for this broadcast, hasn't it?
Yes, it is, and thank you very much.
We're pleased to have you this afternoon, especially to talk about this particular topic, which I dare say may come as a bit of a surprise to some people. What got you interested in this in the first place?
Well, I guess I would have to say that so much of I collect prayer books as much as possible, and the older the prayer books, the greater the depth, the wider the richness with which the words that were written down, even in antiquity, always echoed the very words of promise God gave. And as people run into what I would call the depths, the voids, the width of our needs, and so forth, what better way than to find the Word of God reaching into those depths and putting Christ in the midst of it, and there find ourselves the ability out of that Word to ask what is beyond our ability to imagine He could answer. And I guess that's something I struggle with in my own personal life, is I like to take a verse and basically figure out how I will use that through the day in prayer, and I just thought it would be something I was offered the privilege of writing, and I chose this because I just see it such a need on the part of our lay people in their prayer lives.
Reading the Bible prayerfully, again, you're kind of uniting two things, the Bible and prayer, and I suppose there are two opposite ways to fall off the horse, as there are in a lot of cases. The most common might be to just take up and start praying without any thought about God's Word, about God's revelation, about God's gospel message in Christ. Those are usually the prayers that start off, "God, thank you for the nice sunshiny day today," or "God, the weather's horrible, please send us a nice sunshiny day." Don't you find a lot of prayer just kind of moves at that level?
Yeah, it very much has a drive-through mentality based on whatever the stomach is either enjoying or wanting in that particular moment. And there is no real sense of just who's involved in both the need on my side and the great supplier on the other side as the Lord answers prayer. And the only thing that enlightens both me to the depth of my need, but also to the overwhelming glory of God's supply, is the Scripture.
So putting the Scriptures on the table, then the question becomes, how do we kind of work our way back to prayer? Otherwise, the Scripture can become, an intellectual exercise. I learn a bunch of material maybe I didn't know before, or I am reminded of things that I knew, or I see some little detail that I may have read over 1,000 times before, and now it kind of leaps off the page at me. That can be kind of satisfying at a certain level of curiosity or something like that. But I'm guessing that you wouldn't have written this book if you didn't think that there's more to it than that.
Absolutely. To take it the approach that, as you illustrated with the idea that it's an intellectual thought or the like, is to take the Bible and each reading you get another piece or two of the puzzle and you just put them in place and walk away. And it's not understood first and foremost as a living conversation the Lord is having with us through which he gives himself and all of his grace and glory through that word by the work of the Holy Spirit. And having begun the conversation, prayer always is a response to it. And that's where the two are tied.
Luther once said somewhere, if you find someone who never prays, that's a person who does not truly consider God to be God. Comment on that a little bit.
I guess that's an interesting one. I had not heard in my readings of Luther that particular approach to it. And I guess God to be God, I'm feeding off of a large catechism where he basically sees nothing as greater good than himself. For he himself is that which he reaches, and he never reaches beyond himself. Therefore, why pray when I am... my ends unto myself. I am, quote, the idiot idea that I am a self-made man. I need no God and I need no one to turn to, so I ask of myself and I look within myself to find it. I don't know if I'm following Luther's path, but that seems to be the notion that where that quote seems to lead. That's what I would offer.
Yeah, well, I think that's quite right, but I think it fits into your first point in your five things you can do to read the Bible prayerfully, because the first one is turn off the noise. Talk about that.
The turning off of the noise is there's such profound wisdom in the Lord's encouragement to go into your closet and pray. It isn't so, the wisdom is, yes, get out of the eyes of the world and when you're doing it, but also slip away from the world. It crowds in enough. And the noise that, I guess as I understand the noise today, is we're being bombarded by both words from without and words from within. Ideas from without and ideas from within, all demanding our attention. All demanding that we do something, that we do this. And one of the things I encouraged people to do in the first part was to use Psalm 119, which is, of course, the longest psalm. But the glory of it is the entire psalm is dedicated to God's conversation having its way in us through his word and through the works of his word, but it also is filled with that response. And it's almost a psalm where the psalmist has heard the Lord speak And now in hearing the Lord speaks, he knows his need. His need is for that word. And so as you work through each of the Hebrew alphabets in which it is divided, it's just a conversation about myself before the Lord, before his word. And one of the things that most people don't often take away when you're reading the Psalms or a prayer as it is found in Scripture, one of the things you're doing is you are confessing in that moment, this I do not have apart from your giving, Lord. And so when I come to the Scriptures, I come to it lacking them, but also lacking what is necessary to believe and to live within them. And, you know, with all the demands of the world laying upon our hearts and so forth, suddenly we turn our greatest need to the Lord, and that's for that word. And that's why I just think it's such a critical thing to tune out the words of the world swirling within our head and swirling around us. And again, just listen to the Lord's word as it names our need, my need, as I go to that word and as I'm going to come away from that word.
Interesting. If it's just a matter of me trying to isolate my needs, I can be pretty doggone superficial. I'll come up with some things that I think at times are pretty urgent to pray about, but I won't see even the half of it. I won't hardly scratch the surface. So I cut out the noise, and I hear God speaking to me in his word, and he's calling forth a response. And that's what we're talking about here, this Hour of Issues, etc., with Pastor Mark Love, reading the Bible prayerfully. We'll get more of his suggestions after this break.
Coming Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 11 in the morning Central Time on November the 22nd through 11 in the morning Central on November 23rd. Issues Etc. 24. Friday, November 22nd, and Saturday, November 23rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
This is Issues Etc. for Friday, November 8th. 2013. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Our telephone number, if you want to call and ask questions of Pastor Mark Love, is It's around here somewhere. Oh, yeah. 1-877-623-MYIE. Hey, I'm just a fill-in guy. I can lose the number. 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can tweet us at @issuesetc. Any way you'd like to get a question or a comment to us, we'll get it right here and get it before Pastor Love. I should mention, too, that listeners who have the best questions or comments this hour will receive a copy of Pastor Love's book from Concordia Publishing House, which is the subject of our conversation here, Five Things You Can Do to Read the Bible Prayerfully. So think of those questions and get to us in the next 45 minutes or so. You, too, may go home with a copy of the book. Mark, before we go on to your next suggestion, just kind of lingering a little bit more over number one, turn off the noise. It's important, I think, for us to understand that the scripture is not just God having spoken at some time in the past, but this is God still speaking to us. And therefore, the scripture is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel in word in scripture is the power of God unto salvation quite presently.
Yes, absolutely. And that what you've just said there is one of the hallmarks of the Lutheran theology of the word, that it is alive and the Lord is conveying himself. As Hebrews 13 says, Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. That word is not an expression of a past, but it is an expression, a living expression of the God that is and always gives himself through that word. And again, I really appreciate you mentioning that, because so often it's looked as a book of information from which I might find some divinely revealed facts, like it's a dictionary, and yet totally miss the reality that faith comes through that word, because the Lord, who is that word, is alive and conversing according to my needs before him. And I really appreciate you pointing that out.
Well, scripture as the dictionary, scripture as the phone book, that's one way to go with this, and that's probably the inspiration behind a lot of Bible trivia games. Maybe the one that's a little bit more avant-garde these days is to think of the Bible in its narratives, the Bible as story. But if we think that the scripture's power is congruent with and pretty much limited to the same kind of power that any story would have to inspire or to provoke sympathy or whatever, then we're really missing the point.
Yeah, absolutely, because then I become the operative in my relationship to the Word rather than it solely being the Lord. I am dead apart from his speaking. Only by his speaking am I made alive, am I sustained in the faith. It is the breath of God upon us and in us. And yeah, there's such an informational approach to scripture, and while it has that quality, that attribute, that is not its attribute. It is merely one of the characteristics within it. And I can't emphasize enough, and that's why it may sound rather like a silly way of thinking of it, but part of the I view prayer is, it's like the man getting mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. I know they don't do that anymore, but the man cannot breathe on his own, so the rescuer, the Savior, comes and breathes breath into him. And the only thing that can come out of him is the breath breathed into him. And by that in and that out, it is the very heart and essence of what faith perpetually does to receive and respond to the Lord. That word, when you're reading that word, it is the Lord of life breathing in to us his life. And both the conversation of prayer and the life of faith are the exhales of his breath within us. And if people could only grasp the glorious life essential relationship of the Word to us now, but also to our prayers and our living, I just think it would radically change the whole humbleness before the Word.
Change the image a little bit and think of a tuning fork. One tuning fork, when struck, will cause another tuning fork at the other end of the room to vibrate in the same way. Luther had an interesting suggestion in a book that he wrote originally for his barber, of all things,
right,
called A Simple Way to Pray. And what he's really trying to do there is to get Peter the barber to vibrate in the same way that the Word does. That's your second suggestion in the five things you can do to read the Bible prayerfully. Use Luther's simple way.
Yes, yes. Your tuning fork thing is an excellent illustration. And part of what I love in terms of Luther's, his questions, his successive questions as he approaches the scripture, is, for lack of a better way of doing it, almost going back and getting the Lord to breathe a time again. And to just take the time to receive more richly, but also in a more focused manner, what the Lord, you know, is asking you to, or is trying to give you. And the first, of course, is instruction, because, you know, first and foremost, the scripture is revelation. And what is it that the Lord is instructing me, is teaching me, is giving me in this? And again, the response, because it is totally gift, is one of thanksgiving. You ask the question, what is the Lord teaching me here? And then out of what he has taught, for what do I give thanks? But also in this revelation, there comes the understanding that, you know, I must examine myself in light of this. And what is there that the Lord has shown me that I am not right with him in this text, and therefore the confession of sin, seeking his rich forgiveness. But then also, you know, knowing that the Lord would have me to live in this Word, then seeking his, what would I ask that he might enable me to walk by faith according to this Word. And again, they're just simple, simple questions that, as Luther put it, you can do it from a commandment, a verse, sometimes even a word that the Lord has given, because there's just such richness there. And the other thing about the glory of God's Word that you'd spoken of earlier and its living nature is that while the Word does not change, we do. And God's Word has such a glorious quality that it speaks to us according to our needs before the Lord. And as we move through time and so forth, our needs change, but also an awareness of them. And to just perpetually use these simple questions to go back and ask again what the Lord has said to us, where we are today, it just perpetually allows us to see God's Word never is silent in what it would share with us and in how it would bless us.
We were talking just last hour with Carl Fikincher about trying to discern themes for entire worship services, not just particular sermons. What you're telling us is similar to what Carl said, because in effect he said you've got to start actively listening. You've got to ask some questions. And
yep.
The beauty of Luther's suggestion in A Simple Way to Pray, it seems to me, is that he gives you four simple questions to put to a biblical text. As you say, whether one of the Ten Commandments, a petition of the Lord's Prayer, a story from the Gospels, whatever it may be, you ask, what instruction does it give? What does it suggest that we thank God for? What does it suggest that we confess to God? What does it suggest that we ask God for? Supplication. About 30 seconds just to put a finer point on that before we go to break.
And what I have done in the book is to take those simple questions Luther asked and just broaden them out, like in terms of instruction. What is God teaching me about himself, about his words and so forth? And then the Thanksgiving, each of those go through there. And the glory of it is the theme is always in terms of my relationship to the Lord through Jesus Christ and my relationship to my neighbor through Jesus Christ. And that theme follows that all the way through there, but it always does so as me before the Lord, me before and under his word, not me over it.
Sounds an awful lot to me like Pastor Mark Love has law and gospel in the back of his mind. And I think probably Luther did too. Surprise, surprise. We'll talk about that on the other side of this break. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
And the evening meal was done, Dad would read to us from the family Bible.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Proper Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Proper Christum at shop.logia.org. Proper Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Arch Fitness of Greater St. Louis has a new fall schedule for adult boot camps and sports performance training classes. There's plenty of flexibility with workouts on weekday mornings, weekday evenings, or even Saturday mornings. Arch Fitness has a new, bigger location at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoda, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming, Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana, Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois, and Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
Back Back on Issues Etc. for Friday, November 8th. Ken Sherb for Todd Wilken. About a half hour to go with Pastor Mark Love, author of a fun new book, and an interesting one, too, from Concordia Publishing House, Five Things You Can Do to Prayerfully Read the Bible. And we're in the midst of talking about those five things right now. Our telephone number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. That's 1-877-623-MY-IE. Or you can email us at talkback@issuesetc.org. That's talkback, one word, at issuesetc.org. Or tweet us at issuesetc. And again, whoever gets us the best comment or question this hour will get a copy of Pastor Love's book, Five Things You Can Do to Prayerfully Read the Bible. Talking about prayerful reading here, Mark, I think that there are times that I think we're sort of confused about this these days. We talked about a month ago when I was hosting the show with one pastor who said he's not even so much encouraging people to read the Bible. He wants them to pray the catechism. I'm not sure that it's ever a good idea to dislodge Christians from the Bible. How is your approach maybe different from the kind of thing he's perhaps trying to avoid?
I think what he's seeking to do, and I don't know for sure, but I would see, putting it in the best light, that the catechism is a glorious focused presentation of foundational teachings that echo throughout the scriptures. And they serve mightily to inform both the faith, but also the living of the faith. And praying that is, in essence, a way of bringing before the Lord the, you know, the very heart and core, feeding the faith through the instruction. And part of the ways of praying the scriptures prayerfully, like Luther's four questions, is a way of doing exactly that. Is you look at what is the heart and the core of what the Lord is saying. And one of the ways that I try to kind of touch it in terms of some catechismal understanding is the last of the five is to use the Lord's Prayer and take each of its parts and petitions as a lens with which to walk back through the scripture or begin your reading by starting with, like, Our Father. How is that? Do you see that described? Do you see that echoed in what you're hearing here? Or one of the petitions, like, Thy will be done, to examine it in light of God's will. Where do you see it being expressed in this text? Or perhaps it's even being rebelled against in the text. But then, again, whatever you find with that lens, you then again apply Luther's four questions of, well, what did I learn from it, and so forth, and turning that into prayer. But part of it is I understand what the pastor's saying, but at the same time, I think the catechism is a confession of what God is saying, where the word is God's breath itself. And I agree with, I like the way you put that, you do not want to sever those two, but it's a both and, it's not an either or.
Well, the Lord's Prayer has the advantage of being biblical, right?
Yes.
When the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, he didn't give them a disquisition on prayer. He didn't give them a lot of theory. He just says, when you pray, here's what you say, and he launches right in and teaches the prayer. So, in effect, what you're doing is saying, okay, if every prayer we as Christians could really ever properly pray is going to be in some way or another related to this prayer, coming out of this prayer, then we need to take our reading of the Scripture as we do so prayerfully and prepare our thoughts for prayer, and do it in light of the Lord's Prayer. It's a great idea.
Absolutely, because what, again, something that's not understood is by the Lord setting before us these petitions and the relationship to God as our Father, he is setting before us our needs. And what we cannot find from anything in this world. Therefore, as we go into God speaking to us, and as he speaks meeting us according to our need, he just provides us with a way to look and see what are the other ways in which his will is done for us. Our daily bread is being provided, and yeah, it just serves as a great identifier of my need, but also of what I can, with the highest of expectations, look to the Lord to answer that prayer.
All right, so we've kind of jumped here. There are five things in your book. No, that's fine. It came up at a very opportune time. Five things you can do to read the Bible prayerfully. We've already talked about number one, turn off the noise. Number two, use Luther's simple way from A Simple Way to Pray. You look for instruction in the scriptures, what to thank God for, what to confess, what to ask God for. That's Luther's simple fourfold formula. Then we went to the end of your list, number five, read with the Lord's Prayer in mind. I want to go back just one notch to number four, and that's finding law and gospel, because Luther is really, in a sense, already doing that in A Simple Way to Pray when he talks about the four things you're looking for. But it's always kind of mystified me that he does them in the opposite order of what I would expect. First instruction, okay, then something to thank God for, then something to confess. I would kind of think he'd say, find something to confess, then find something to thank God for. That's more a law and gospel kind of order in my mind. What do you think?
I understand what you're saying, but I see the thanksgiving following the instruction as a confession, this I believe. And believing this, I now examine myself in light of what I believe. And thereby, that confession of sin. And, of course, understanding with that confession of sin is, you know, as is repentance, it is, you know, forgiveness, it is confession and forgiveness. But I understand what you're saying, but I see the thanksgiving as a confession of faith in what the Lord has instructed us in. And by virtue of that confession, I proceed to examine myself. So that's how I see those two in that sequential relationship.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, the petition at the end, or the supplication, what you're asking God for, that can be something for yourself. It could be something for your neighbor. It could be something for your church. It could be something for your community. The sky's the limit at that point, right?
Right, right. But see, law, the terms law and gospel, so oftentimes, having done a lot of my doctorate work in homiletics, so much of the preaching of the gospel is more about Jesus Christ instead of what is he doing. And again, because the word is living, the gospel is being done to me as I hear it. But also the law tends to be heard as do's and don'ts, which is certainly a part of that, but there's a broader spectrum. And again, the gospel tends to be, well, Jesus died on the cross. Well, yes, that is, again, one of the most, you know, the most stellar moment in which we see the Lord, you know, fulfilling that great exchange before the wrath of God with our sins. But how else does he bring that cross and that resurrection through the word to us and hear it in ways that it's God for me, you know, God to me, God in me, God through me, all by the work of Christ through his word and the Holy Spirit.
Well, again, your fourth of the five things you can do to read the Bible prayerfully is finding law and gospel. And maybe we kind of got ahead of ourselves. What at the most basic level do you mean when you say that, finding law and gospel?
Well, part of it is when you're looking in terms of whatever you're reading and the like, what I'm saying is you simply, you know, and what you've read is there's something in terms of the law that shows what I am to do or not to do? Is there something said about sin? Is there something said about sinners, i.e. me?
How about the condition in which sinners find themselves?
Exactly. And that's certainly a part of that. Certainly, is there something that shows God's punishment of sin and or of sinners? And another side of it is there something said or shown about unbelief or the lack of faith and so forth? Those are some of the things in terms of, the law with which how is that being spoken, and how does that, speak to me in terms of either have I done or not done, or your conditional thing is certainly out of 2 Corinthians, where outwardly we are perishing. I mean, that is a reality of the law that, certainly would have been one I should have probably put in here. But it's something that I think is so lacking when we hear the law, and our society likes to, if you will, dumb it down to just be, don't do this, don't do this, and we never see or understand it in its real consequential, both law and gospel, effects upon our living.
We've got four of these five things you can do to read the Bible prayerfully on the table, the last one of the five, coming up after this break on Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, and yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Do you long for a church that has ancient roots and yet contemporary significance? That is, at the same time, Catholic, Orthodox, Evangelical, and Protestant? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Check out the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Oh, have we got a book for you, and you got about 10 minutes to get it. Five things you can do to prayerfully read the Bible by our guest, Pastor Mark Love. He's pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Rockford, Michigan. You can have this recent CPH publication for free by giving us the best question or comment this afternoon in this hour of Issues Etc. Our telephone number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-6943, or if you remember it this way better, 877-623-MYIE. The in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can tweet us at issuesetc. Mark, we've got Turn Off the Noise is number one. Number two is use Luther's simple way to pray. Number four, we skip number three, we'll come back to that here in a second, is find the law and gospel in what you're reading in the scripture. And number five, read with the Lord's Prayer. What was that one we missed, number three?
Number three is what I call reading for the particular.
And what does that mean?
And I guess what drew me to this is, as you have gone through the seminary and learned to study both the original texts and the like, is that you bear down and take a look at the actual contents of the sentence itself, looking for three particular things. The verb first, because it is absolutely the central element in any kind of communication. The verb is going to help the, as you read a verse or the like, it allows you to look for what is the activity or what is the particular state or situation that is being announced that reveals a state or condition. And the beauty of the verb is that it sets before us and gives to us the activity found there. And from there you look for who's doing that activity. Is it, and you look back to that, if it is the Lord, then right away I have something that is food for faith, because this activity, the Lord is doing it, but then I look for what is the direct object, who and what is receiving that activity. And the glory of it is that it allows for a rich meditation upon a verse of Scripture. And in our soundbite quick look at Scripture society, it's easier for a person to take a verse into the day and begin hanging on those two things. But I'm sure you know from experience how many sermons, how many devotions are built upon the activity found in the text, in that verse, and the doer of it. And the, you know, so much of the verb, is it past, is it present? Like the one I point out in there is just Jesus' words, it is finished. Okay, finished. That's the activity, but it's past. And what is it? It is the wrath of God. But imagine if it were a present tense. It is finishing. Wow, that means that wrath isn't done. But when I look at that verb, that activity, and see that it is past, it is done, suddenly great comfort, great encouragement comes from that. And that begins to create both, you know, the songs of thanksgiving and rejoicing, but also I think the great message of comfort that arises out of what is forgiveness all about? What does it do? And so looking into those kinds of things, for God so loved the world, okay, loved is that operative verb, that activity. Who's doing it? God is. Who's the direct object? Who's receiving it? The world, that is us. And those kinds of examinations for the particular in the verse becomes, I guess, just the richest kind of chewing of the text, of getting it out of it and wrenching it to pull out even the shortest, simplest things. And
you're right.
I can't say enough about that, but I just know that as pastors, we are taught to look for those three things first and foremost. If we're going to be able to really take out from the Scriptures what the Lord is saying and giving us.
Well, it may seem to some people like a kind of a going back to junior high and exercise in English grammar, but it's not just pastors who have to bear these things in mind as you read the Scriptures, or for that matter, read anything else. You've got to bear in mind the way the language works, the way language communicates, and you're talking about very rudimentary things, subjects, objects, and the verbs that connect them.
Well, and the beautiful thing, especially with the verb, is the verb describes the relationship between the doer and the one to whom it's being done. When you think of for God so loved the world, it right away tells you a dynamic of the relationship between God the lover and the world the one loved. And that verb very much helps us understand the kind of relationship these two things have. And again, it just is such a rich thing to fill. What have I learned from this? Again, simply using Luther's four questions to create my prayer based on what I've discovered by that particular look at just the simplest of things.
It's also interesting, Mark, that you kind of suggest along the way that we might think a little bit outside the box at times and say, well, okay, what might this verse have said, but it really doesn't say, like, it is finishing. You know, to think in terms of what we have by thinking of the contrast, what it doesn't say.
Yeah, and imagine the interesting part of it is with regard to the it is finishing. How much of the world that doesn't know Christ, that doesn't know that glorious verb in the past tense, believe it is still yet being finished, and they're having to finish it. And here you see by these words of Christ himself, suspended between heaven and earth, before the face of God, having been left by him, yet staying with us, it's over. It's finished. It's finished. And there's nothing left for you to finish before the Lord.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to put you through a little exercise here. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I will give you a passage to do the Luther's four simple steps on. It's from this coming Sunday's gospel lesson in a lot of churches where Jesus points out to the Sadducees that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Give me the four.
All right. So you're saying to take Jesus' passage that he is the God of the living, and he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living, right?
Right.
All right. That's interesting because I was working on that very text before you called. In that simple text, Jesus sets before us a couple of things. What does he instruct me in terms of? What do I learn from this? I learn first off what God is not. He is not a God of the dead, i.e., that which is past. He is a God of the living. And the critical thing is the end of that verse, for all live to him. He is the one who makes alive. He is the one who makes alive. And
okay, so Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. I give thanks for the fact that what is he doing? He is the God of the living. He is the one who is supplying my life. I give thanks for the fact that death is not a part of what he is doing with me in Christ. He is making me alive, and according to his work, I am alive in him, and for that I give thanks.
All right, now confession.
Confession, what I would confess in this is that my despairing moments when death looks like it is mightier than God, that the fear of death and sin that might separate me from God in terms of having fallen and not realizing that Christ is alive amidst the dead and makes alive even in it, and I forget that, and I despair.
And then what do I ask God for?
I ask God for, I would say in this, two things. Number one, to, by his word, continue to breathe that life and living into me through Jesus Christ. But also by the Holy Spirit to make me aware through his word of my life that is in him right now, so that by faith I live it through his gifts of his word and his blessed body and blood.
That is Pastor Mark Love from St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Rockford, Michigan. He's the author of the new book from Concordia Publishing House, Five Things You Can Do to Prayerfully Read the Bible. You can find out more about this very book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can purchase the book, Five Things You Can Do to Prayerfully Read the Bible, by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their number is 1-800-325-3040. Again, toll free, 800-325-3040. Mark, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for being with us this afternoon on Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the privilege of sharing this with you, and to CPH for the privilege of furthering their ministry to our laity as they seek to live in the faith.
Very good. And yeah, he did write the book for the person in the pew, and I think it's going to be a delightful thing for people to be able to use. That's it for today. Todd will be back on Monday, and he will have, as usual, the Sunday school lesson. He'll be talking with Pastor Tom Baker about Daniel chapter 6, which is, of course, Daniel in the lion's den. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your time this time. Till next time on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.